right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday and welcome back. This is Mark Hall. We are going to be live this morning on the Drive Time Friday show. And I also got David Justice with me. Unfortunately, Randy Yarbrough isn't able to make it again, but we'll catch up with Randy soon. Meanwhile, there is a whole lot to talk about. And David, I'm going to do something I don't very often do, and I guess I'll just bring this on you and let you react to it. But I'm going to suggest that there really is a theme this week. It's been on my heart and my mind a lot of late, and we saw the week start off with it, and as it progressed, there were so many other indicators that this is something people need to be really aware of. One way I put it is from a number of places in Scripture where it says, do not keep silent. And we got a, you're on a flight path there, it sounds like. Anyway, hang on just a second. Okay. Anyway, do not keep silent. Excuse me. And the other one has to do with the admonition from Leviticus 19:16, and this one really ought to resonate with us. And this is the one that sometimes the English is mistranslated, but I like the version that says, "Do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor." And essentially, all of the stories that I think are most important point in this direction of people doing what's right, people not keeping their mouths shut when they needed to speak up about things, or sometimes they did keep their mouth shut and people died, and people doing what was right when the time was at hand. And, of course, the primary example on that front was earlier in the week when in Greenwood Park, just outside Indianapolis in Indiana. And, by the way, the key thing here and the setup is that Indiana, just recently, on July 1st, opened a really interesting policy. They decided to actually do what the Bill of Rights says. And it's called constitutional carry. The state has a law in place that says, yep, the citizenry has the right, imagine this, to keep and bear arms. And I also call this a Darwin Award because it turns out there was a shooter. By now, a lot of folks have heard about it. They're not hearing the full story, though, and that's what really bugs me. At the Greenwood Park Mall, a fellow went into the food court. It turns out he had multiple weapons, and they didn't spend as much time talking about the multiple weapons this time. Interesting. He prepared, then he came out, and he started shooting. He killed three people. Some stories are now saying that a fourth person has died since then. He fired a number of shots, probably close to 20 shots or so, in less than 2 minutes. And in the process of that, he wins the Darwin Award because he failed to confirm, maybe his handlers in the FBI or whoever was handling this guy, or maybe he was actually a genuine lone gunman. Anyway, he failed to confirm that it was truly a gun-free killing zone, and it cost him his life. Because he was not able to do what happened in Uvalde, where the close to 400 cops and so-called law enforcement waited over an hour and didn't do what they needed to do. There was an armed citizen carrying constitutionally, no permit required, and he opened up and took out this fellow before he could murder who knows how many more. He's being called a Good Samaritan, and for the most part, the Waystream Press is trying to ignore the story. Anyway, that's an indicator on so many fronts of what's wrong with the country and what's right when people start doing what it is they're supposed to do and can do and should be able to do if we actually had a rule of law. Go ahead, David.
Do you remember, are you getting me here?
Yeah, we're hearing you now.
Mark?
Yes.
Okay, so you remember the article, I don't know, it was 10 years ago or so, maybe longer, called Dial 911 and Die?
Yes.
That was a report or a treatise that someone had written, put together some Supreme Court rulings that basically summarized in that the police are not there to protect us. You dial 911 and, you know, while you're waiting for the police to get there, you know, the damage has been done.
A lot can happen in 7 minutes.
Right. And so the idea behind the people taking matters into their own hands, it's not a matter of taking matters into our own hands. We have a duty as the sovereign of this country. We, the sovereign, have a duty to protect each other, protect ourselves. And the Supreme Court has ruled that the police officers are not there to protect us. They're basically there to protect the system, Mark.
They have no duty, no obligation to protect people. The way I like to put it, David, is they're there to draw the little chalk lines around afterwards. And the statistics, the data, the logic, it's all clear. It's been clear for years. The people that are pushing for the gun-free killing zones are wannabe mass murderers. And what was really, I think, one of the things that revealed just how far gone some of these people are, I'm not even going to name the woman. One of the so-called mothers against self-defense has come out, and they were literally upset. They were upset that there was a Good Samaritan who was armed there and was able to kill this fellow before he was able to kill a whole lot more people. And the man's name, they call him a Good Samaritan, is a 22-year-old Elijah Dickin. And the Grinwood police chief said more people would have died, many more people would have died last night, if not for a responsible armed citizen. Afterwards, the wannabe mass murderer who wins the Darwin Award was found to have two more rifles and more than 100 rounds of ammunition. Oh, booga, booga, booga. The point is, if you're dead, you can't very well carry out your satanic mission. And he had a handgun, too. And what's interesting is that even the Daily Mail in the UK is at least reporting that they're calling the guy a Good Samaritan. Now, there's more to it than this, David. One of the things that I thought was fascinating was that the Good Samaritan wasn't named for several days, and I don't know that he has spoken up yet. His father's a lawyer, and they're basically saying we're going to let the police conclude the investigation before we say anything. But eyewitnesses and other people have said that not only the man saved lives, but evidently he was with his girlfriend at the time. He told her to get back and get out. He took up a position against concealment and cover, against a pole, supporting structure in the building. He used the pole for support, and he took out the shooter, ready for this, from a distance of between 30 and 40 yards with a pistol, with a handgun. So the fellow not only was responsible, able, trained, and by the way, he was not professionally trained. He wasn't law enforcement or anything of the sort. He was just what you'd call, we used to call him an 8-year-old kid in Missouri when I grew up, had experience with firearms and knew more about it than the average senator now that wants to disarm people. Anyway, this fella took up the position, used the pole as a brace, fired 10 shots, because he only had 10 shots in a magazine, and he's able to neutralize the shooter before he killed a lot more people. Meanwhile, the bad guy fired, according to at least one story, 24 rounds in less than 2 minutes. And I'll say it again. Compare this to Uvalde, where 300 and some odd, close to 400 cops and police and federal agents showed up on the scene, most of them with body armor, a lot of them with SWAT teams, stood around having donuts, I guess, and doing nothing, waiting for the fellow that was executing children there to do it for over an hour. And contrast that to when armed citizens are able to do what it is that God gave them the right to do and the Constitution once protected. Again, this is the kind of story that ought to be shouted from the rooftops. Go ahead, David.
Well, I don't know what more to add to that. The story speaks for itself. The guy was in a position to do something, and he did it. But, this definitely suggests that it goes counter to the narrative that they would like to disarm us because they don't want us to be able to protect ourselves from them, which is really what's going on. They don't want us to protect ourselves from a radical government that has turned criminal. So the whole narrative about the, women or mothers against, self-defense, that's all narrative, and it's all exploitation of people's ignorance, when the truth of the matter is the Constitution prohibits the government from taking firearms away because the people ultimately have the duty to throw off a government when it turns into a dictatorship, which it's becoming, and they know they're becoming that. So the evidence that they're trying to take away the firearms is in and of itself. That's all you need to know. Mark.
Yep. One more, I think, interesting element of this. Now, this I have not confirmed independently. I'm gonna take it on, and I hate to believe the scumbags that are pushing for the gun control. But some of the mothers against self-defense were saying he was violating the law. Well, it's not the law. It turns out that maybe there were signs at least some of the mall entrances saying no weapons permitted. Now, notice that the sign did not stop the mass murder. I guess we also have signs that say, please don't kill people in mass. Maybe there are rules somewhere that say, don't commit mass murder. The wannabe mass murderer didn't obey the signs. And the gun banners are really upset because the fellow who saved his life and his girlfriend's life and who knows how many others didn't pay attention to a damnable sign. And I'm going to say it as kindly as I can. A sign that, honestly, I think this would be kind of interesting. I'd like to see a bunch of mall patrons sue the owner of the Greenwood Park Mall saying, your sign almost cost us our life. Thankfully, there was somebody there who wasn't listening to your idiotic, damnable sign or we'd be dead. And you wouldn't have anybody suing you for what you tried to do to us. So it'd be interesting. You know that in this so-called justice system, that law won't, that case won't prevail because they're not even going to be allowed to have a jury of peers anymore. But it would certainly be fascinating to see people suing these malls and places like this that post signs saying, gun-free killing zone, only mass murderers need carry weapons. Go ahead.
You don't have standing to challenge that unless you're dead, which takes away your standing anyway.
That's a good point.
Okay.
All right. Well, from there, I want to throw out this story. Now, this is not a major story to the extent that the one that we just talked about is, but it should be. And it's an article that I saw on Technocracy News from a couple of PhDs, MDs, that basically were talking about U.S. public health agencies. And they started doing a study, and they've had lots of people call them from various three-letter agencies, doctors, scientists at the top level of the NIH, a federal death authority, and the Center for Death and Control. They're frustrated, exasperated, and alarmed about the direction of the agencies that they've devoted their careers to are headed. One of them, a senior FDA official, lamented, quote, "It's like a horror movie I'm being forced to watch, and I can't close my eyes." And they're upset about recent developments, like, for example, how with no actual scientific data, they call it solid clinical data, folks, the test was bogus, they lied about the results, and they threw out the outliers that they didn't like. Anyway, they've just recently authorized COVID vaccines, not just for killing kids that are preteen, but all the way down to 6 months old, infants and toddlers, even those that have already had COVID and have far better natural immunity. Before that, the FDA bypassed their own external experts to authorize the booster shots for young kids. And there's more. Basically, a lot of these doctors are upset. They're saying, hey, our agencies aren't following the science. One scientist said, quote, "I used to be proud to tell people I work at the CDC. Now I'm embarrassed." Now, let me try to be as kind as I can, David. He ought to be more than embarrassed. He ought to be mortified. He should have quit. And he ought to be shamed for participating, for drawing a paycheck from an organization whose raison d'etre, sole reason for existence today, and we know it, seems to be killing people, hiding facts, and covering up for mass murder on the largest scale in human history. So if people are embarrassed because the agency isn't following the science, well, let's put it this way. The real problem is they're told in Scripture, do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. You have an obligation to speak up, you lying sack of you-know-what. And how is it that you're participating in any way, shape, or form with the attempted mass murder of people? So what's good about this is that some of them are embarrassed. What's bad, David, is there are not people being tried yet for mass murder on the biggest scale in history. But at least some of this is an indicator that people are starting to wake up. One of the doctors that was interviewed here says, I can't tell you how many people at the FDA have told me, I don't like this, but I just need to make it to my retirement. How's that for an admission? May they burn in you know where. Go ahead.
Well, we have a bunch of people that weren't taught how to think. They're told what to think, and they're going along to get along for a paycheck. You know, this is selling your soul. This is accepting the mark of the beast. You're giving your allegiance to form and procedure and narrative rather than the truth. And that distinction alone is ultimately what's going to be the line, the demarcation that distinguishes the two sides of the battle that we're moving into. Right now it's an ideological battle. It's a philosophical battle. It's a battle between propaganda and the truth. These people have bought hook, line, and sinker, the idea that they need to do what they're told because that's as far as they can think. They don't have an original thought for themselves, and so they're trapped inside the labyrinth of their mind. And unfortunately, this describes a lot of the people that work for government, and this is the scary scenario.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, and this is the thing, David. This is the reason why I bring both of these up in this conjunction, and I mention Leviticus 19:16. I encourage people to read that sequence. There are several there. By the way, the sequence of these commandments ends with, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you stand idly by and watch him be executed in the gun-free killing zone? Do you stand idly by and keep your mouth shut while he pokes his kids? Do we at least show him an article and say, you know, hey, if you really cared about your kids, you wouldn't want to kill them, would you? The problem, David, and I agree with you, there are a lot of dumbed-down people that are buying the lie, allowing things to happen to them. The problem is the following. When I see somebody that claims to hang a shingle and say, I'm a medical professional, I'm a doctor, I know what's better for you, I know about your health. Here, give me your arm, I'm going to inject you with this Zyklon B because I'm too damn stupid. No, I'm a liar and the truth is not in me. To look at the medical data to see how many people in mass are dying, having their immune systems destroyed, becoming infertile, having clots, myocarditis, pericarditis, cancers, you name it. And these idiots, no, this is the problem. See, they're worse than idiots, David. These are people who take money for giving people medical advice. It'd be like if you had a suicide clinic and you call up and somebody says, hey, you know, killing yourself with a gun might not be effective. Maybe you need to take strychnine, hang from a rope, and then shoot yourself in the head while you're doing it. This is the kind of stuff that ought to be, well, culpable. People are culpable for pretending to be doctors and then doing this kind of thing. And, you know, the science isn't clear. The hell it's not. How many people have to die? How many people do you have to execute? You know, there was a time when a decent doctor would tell a pregnant woman, well, you know, this data hasn't been tested on in pregnant women. We don't know how good the data is for women in your situation. Maybe you shouldn't take this. And now they're saying, well, no, the data says it's going to kill you, but take it anyway. See, there's something horribly wrong here. And this is the problem. And the problem I have with people that are going to doctors who are wearing masks and wanting them to take poison pokes is, let me put it as kindly as I can. They deserve what they get. Why are they listening to these people? Something's horribly wrong. And the problem is, love your neighbor does not mean allow them to be killed. Tell them they should commit suicide. Have them disarmed and to do all the things that Big Brother's doing to them while the sheep basically say, bah, bah, thank you, may I have another. I'm angry about it. And I think it's time Americans waked up to it. Awakened. Don't get woke. Awaken to what's really going on. And it's things like these stories, including the fact that somebody at least exercised his right to constitutional carry and was able to save a lot of lives. That ought to help.
So a friend of mine shared this with me this week. There's the difference between someone that's stupid and someone that's ignorant. Someone that's stupid doesn't know they're ignorant. Someone that's ignorant knows they're ignorant, and they want to learn more, so they'll stop being ignorant. So what we've got here is stupid people, and we've got ignorant people. The stupid people are going along to get along. They don't ask questions because it might cost them their livelihood or their status in society or their physician or their friends or their family. And this is what Yeshua said, that we're supposed to be willing to give up everything to follow the truth. And if everybody was giving up everything to follow the truth, then we wouldn't find ourselves in this circumstance. So the bottom line is we have to turn our minds on. We have to desire to know the truth. And as we do that, and like you said, share, tell people what's going on, and then suffer the ramifications, the ridicule, the mocking, the scorning, the gaslighting, because that's part, that is the enemy's primary tool of divide and conquer, and that's what's going on. So that's why so many people are looking the other way, pretending they don't see, because they're stupid or ignorant. Now, that's
okay.
What's going on. We don't love the truth as a people.
I agree, David, and I love you, and I'm going to say, yeah, but even so, you're not being hard enough on them. Because, in fact, they're stupid, there's ignorant, and then there's what we've got in large, and this is essentially describes most three-letter agencies, I'm going to suggest. And, yeah, is that harsh? You're darn right it is. The FDA, the federal death agencies, and those that are willfully killing people, they are willfully blind. They're stupid, there's ignorant, and there's, I know the answer, and I could care less what the truth is, because I want you dead, and I'm going to kill you anyway, and by the way, I want my paycheck. And somebody's paying me to do this. So there is a level of culpability that goes beyond stupid or ignorant. And let me just throw out a couple of things. Everybody knows this verse, but it fits. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, there's your ignorance. My people are destroyed because they're ignorant. But here you go. This is where the creator of the universe hammers them. He says, because you have rejected knowledge. See, it's not just that you're stupid and don't know it. You have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you. And you will not be a Kohen, a priest to me, because you have forgotten the instruction of your God. So you know what? I'm going to forget your children too. That's a paraphrase. We've all heard the original. But in modern English, it really resonates, doesn't it? You have rejected knowledge. You are willfully blind.
Absolutely.
I'm going to reject you. You're not going to be a Kohen. By the way, you won't be a priest. You won't be a doctor. You won't be a lawyer. You're not going to have any position of authority because you have rejected knowledge. And you have forgotten the instruction, the law of your creator. Oh, yeah. And your children? I guess you can go ahead and poke them. I'm going to forget them. So over and over again, he says this. Isaiah 66, I encourage people, pull the last chapter of Isaiah up and read it. Because he talks there about how, because you have rejected everything that I'm telling you, I'm going to choose your delusions. So there's the rest of the equation, David. It's people that have literally had their delusions chosen for them. Oh, I want to be in a gun-free killing zone so I can be the first one to get popped. They deserve what they get, and they're getting it, good and hard. Go ahead.
Paul wrote that if we refuse to love truth, we're sent a powerful delusion so that we believe a lie. But the crux of this conversation is if we love our Father, we love the truth, and if we love truth, we'll move in the direction of truth, we'll move away from ignorance and into the truth. The powerful delusion that we're sent is the result of us believing a lie. So we bring the delusion upon ourselves. A lot of people on this planet believe that because they've got a college degree sitting on the wall, that they've been educated, and so they know best. And so many people fall back on their multiple guess final exam that enabled them to have a degree as the expression of how intelligent they are. And so they fall back on that intelligence that they think they have, and as a result the world goes by and they don't understand what's going on, but because they don't think, they don't have original thoughts in their head, they go ahead and plug in and they let people tell them what to do. And a really painful thing here is there's a segment of mainstream Christendom, the institutional Christianity, tells people that you go along to get along, you obey your masters, you obey the rules, you obey. And so there's so many people seduced by this idea of obey that they're locked in to this delusion. And there's how the delusion works, Mark. Go ahead.
And we see it on so many levels, David. You're right. And it's, I guess the bottom line is, it is so consistent that people who reject knowledge are suffering for it. And what saddens me is that we have an entire economy and an entire country that has rejected knowledge, literally has dumbed down their children to the point of death. They're allowing them to be executed by injection, and then they sit quietly by while it happens. And meanwhile, those that did this, that know better, that are selling their souls, have already sold out. Well, they're not only not suffering for it, they're continuing to tighten the noose. Let me give you about two more examples. Here's one that came out this week. Now, this is a woman that I have, to say I have no admiration is an understatement. She is slime. And it's Dr. Deborah Birks. And that's what the word doctor has become. She made a number of stunning admissions over the last week or so. She has a book coming out. Nobody ought to buy this piece of caca. But she told the Daily Mail first that COVID-1984 came out of the box ready to infect. Well, she knew that. They knew that because guess what? They paid for the development. Now, I don't know whether she was part of that team, but I know darn well Fauci was involved in the gate of research. And we'll pick it up there when we get back. this is the Drive Time Friday show, and there is a theme for today, and it's not to stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. Do not keep silent. We have an obligation to, as David likes to put it, to seek out the truth. The truth will set us free. And if we don't have a love of the truth, and we can see what happens just by looking at society, it gets really ugly. Now, as I went to break, I was mentioning some admissions from some particularly evil scumbags that helped to destroy the country. This particular woman's not at the top of the heap. She's kind of like a junior level scumbag, but it's a so-called Dr. Deborah Birx's new book came out, and Fox's Jesse Waters has commented on a number of the things that that the book says. I guess the good news is this way people don't have to buy it and don't give her any money. But she was shooting from the hip when it came to some of their idiotic, anti-scientific national directives. So we knew that, but at least they're admitting it now. Like 2 weeks to stop the spread. Socialist distancing. She said, quote, no sooner than had we convinced the Trump administration to implement our version of the two-week shutdown than I was trying to figure out how to extend it. So as Waters said, the 15 days was just a sneaky way to get their hooks into us so they could lock down it for longer. And then they claimed, oh, socialist distancing was the key. And she wrote, quote, I'd settled on 10 feet, knowing that even that was too many, but I figured at least 10 would be palatable for most Americans. And, you know, it was all about control. The point is, we don't know what the numbers are. We're just making this stuff up. But as long as you're stupid enough to go along with it, ha-ha, we've got you. And they were able to do this. And this is what is so, it's hard not to be sarcastic about it. We have to recognize that, you know, follow the science was always a lie. It's follow the Pied Piper. We're taking you off a cliff. Go ahead.
Well, in this case, Fauci was the Pied Piper. And I don't know who he's answering to, but there's a lot of information about his direct involvement in the Ukraine biochemical laboratories over there. So he had an investment. He was vested in the COVID. And so Birx, who is his number two, and they're up there on the national stage, the momentum carried the day. And he led the momentum. And I hope, pray, that the truth about Fauci's involvement comes out, Mark.
Truth has come out, David. It's just that for the most part, the waste stream is going to ignore it. Just like they ignored the fact that they knew a year before they came out and admitted it about gain of function research. And that Fauci and people like Peter Daszak had funded it. And it was done with U.S. taxpayer dollars. And it turns out it started in places like Ukraine, ended up in Wuhan. But it was all about a bioweapon from the get-go. And they're still not talking about it.
The enemy is the elite. The enemy are the Bill Gates and the Faucis and the people that are in total control. They're tied in with the monetary system. It all connects at the top. And they're going to use whatever means they can to kill off the population of the planet so that they can have their new world empire. It's their plan. We know it's their plan. It's scripture. We see the plan in scripture. It's inevitable. This is the direction that they're going. So basically sometimes I feel like we're preaching to the choir about so much that's obvious, but at the same time I realize that, you know, getting the information to people so that they can get the information to other people is a good reason to be on the show, Mark.
And you stated it. That's the key, David. It's not about preaching to the choir. It's about making sure the choir knows not to keep their mouth shut. It's about making sure that the choir knows, well, they've inherited lies from their fathers when it comes to a lot of the crap they were told in Sun God Day school. They're supposed to follow the real Mashiach, Yahushua, the salvation of Yah, not a fake one that tells you the law is done away with and, you know, sit down and play some golf after you go to Sun God Day school and church. We have, Hosea, Isaiah, the prophets, they've all said the same thing. You're going the wrong way. You got to learn to turn around. We have inherited lies. The other one I think that we want to make sure we toss out there is this idea of what can we do? You're right. There are elites that are clearly, we know who they serve. It's obvious. They serve the prince of this world. But people say, well, you know, what can I do? I'm only one person. I voted as if that made any difference. Yeah, sure. What we can do is what scripture says, come out of her, my people. Do not keep silent. speak up, blow the shofar of warning. You see that sword coming upon the land? Hey, you can be a watchman. You'd better be. Don't stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. Do something. Show me your faith by your works. Are you going to march like a little sheep to the concentration camp? Let your kids be injected? Go into the gun-free killing zone and just see whether or not you live? Or are you going to stand up against it? The fellow who saved those people in Indianapolis, whether he saw the sign or not, I don't care about. What he knew was, I could care less about a sign that wants me dead. I could care less about a sign that says, I've done this. No entry without a mask. Let me say it as kindly as I can. The hell with your mask. We ought to be able to do that everywhere. We need to have people doing that everywhere. They're going to bring the masks back. We know that. They're going to bring the other stupid stuff back that worked. People have to say no. They have to simply say, I will not put up with tyranny today. I will not be duped again. No, you're not going to inject me. You're not going to kill my kids. You're not going to take my guns away. You're not going to destroy my business. They're trying on all of those fronts. And go ahead, David. Then I got one more story I want to really make sure we throw out here because this is an important one.
Okay. Well, this is how we recognize us and them. Our Father's about order. The first order, the first business of heaven is order. And they're the enemy is all about control. And as a matter of fact, they're creating chaos so that they can control. Now, the only thing that can truly set off the darkness is the light. The only thing that can truly set off chaos is order. So the distinction is they use force to control, to manipulate, so that they can feel secure, just like Cain, who needed to go to Nimrod because he was no longer feeling secure out on the land. That's what the element that we're dealing with. They're all about security, and they're all about the form and the means rather than the substance of the truth, which is what our side is all about in order to restore order. Go ahead, Mark.
Over and over again, we're finding the same thing. You're right. It's let me do this, David. Let's just toss out this story about House Bill 4350. People need to be paying attention to this. Now, again, I don't care about the legislation per se, because I guarantee you they're going to put this into effect. They've already done it. All HB 4350 and the so-called NDAA does is to codify, to try to say, hey, what we've been getting away with, the gang rape of the Constitution and Bill of Rights that we've been getting away with, we're going to now claim it's legal in hindsight. And as one story puts it, they're panicked. Now, what happened this last week to a little fanfare, although a few people have figured it out and are beginning to talk about it, one of the most evil men in a totally satanic place, Adam Schiffless in California, added an amendment to HB 4350 that included some really satanic stuff. And basically, Chapter 89, Countering Extremism. What's extremism? That's anybody that believes that there is a Bill of Rights and that you have a God and that your rights come from him as opposed to, scumbags like Schiff. They've added the following. Now, the media is focused, that those that have been covering it, on the wrong thing. They're essentially saying, oh, this is about covering up for what they did on January 6th. Basically, it has to do with the armed forces, and it says that anybody that comes forward from the armed forces and tries to provide evidence that we don't want to be out there in any trial, hearing, or other proceeding, or before any court, department, agency, blah, blah, well, we're not going to hear it. We're not going to listen to it. And it's all about covering up. But wait, there's more. What they really are doing is to try to remove any vestige of oversight from the military. Now, we talked about this during the break, and David mentioned Posse Comitatus, which used to prohibit the use of U.S. military on American soil. And then they made an exception to it. They used the exception to kill, seven dozen people or so in Waco, Texas, men, women, and children. The exception was, oh, if we think there's drugs, we can send in the military and execute people. And they did. And they used military snipers and gun force. But now, though, it's worse than that. They've eliminated Posse Comitatus over the last few years, virtually completely. They got away with it in Waco. And now what this bill is attempting to do is to say, we are going to use the military on American soil. We're going to prevent any oversight by Congress. Oh, yeah. And we're going to go after what we call extremists. They've got an Office of Countering Extremism with data collection and analysis. Well, they've already got the data. They already know who the people are that they want to silence, and they're already working on it. So, again, the consistent theme here is, well, here's how one story put it. The so-called Secretary of Defense, the guy who's a lot more concerned about making sure military gets transgender operations than they can defend the country, they can decline any request for materials related to, oh, for example, the debacle in Afghanistan, woke military policies, vaccine mandates, injuries, you know, how many soldiers, sailors, Marines are dying as a result of the poison poke, and what did they really do on January 6th? All of that. And worse still, they'll do it again going forward. And the message here is to tell people, if you speak up, you thought it was bad what we were doing to doctors. You thought it was bad that we were masking you and poisoning your children. No, what we intend next is to unleash the full force of what's left of the military. And maybe this is the good news, David. It's been dumbed down and self-destroyed. Anyway, they intend to unleash that against the American people. And again, people need to speak up. They need to use the voice that they have while they still have it and not stand idly by the blood of their neighbors. Go ahead.
Well, a fascinating thing for me in this scenario is to look back in history. And it's always been a fascinating thing to me that dictators kill millions of people. It comes with the position of dictator. What I've, you know, come to understand is that dictator is really a mob boss. It's, you know, to even dignify him with the title of dictator is really too much. These guys are criminals. They're murderers. They're thieves. They got to their position, the way every psychopath gets to their position. They step on everybody on the way up. And that's the world of politics. Okay. So we've got a world of politics that is completely corrupted. And the first casualty of every war is truth. Now, George Orwell was the one that says, in the age of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. Okay, so it's the most natural thing in the world that the so-called dictator would want to control the narrative, because he webbed a trail of deceit and lies to get to the position where he and his supporters are. And of course, they kill their opposition, and so they set out to do it. This is, we should be shocked by this. We should be, kind of like fascinated. This is what we're always talking about, and we're in the throes of that right now. The nation is undergoing a transformation into total, listen, deception, total narrative, and total delusion, and that's the nation of the Antichrist, if you will, that rises up in antithesis to the truth. Everything that's true, it opposes it. So opposes it that it radicalizes truth. Oh, truth is really radical, and anybody that speaks the truth is an extremist. But that's not what they're saying. That's what they're reflecting. So the truth is enemy, and of course it is. It destroys the narrative. So of course there's going to be an anti-campaign. They're saying that they've made truth the lie, and the lie is the truth. I mean, the scripture is all about this. They've made dark light and light dark. They've made black white and white black. And so here we are living. I mean, you know, Skinda would be exceedingly glad that we can see this for what it is, Mark. I thanks for the soapbox.
I heard an interesting summary this week that I kind of liked from an individual saying, you know, if you look at what happens, and Scripture lays this out, it's not explicitly stated, but he's right. You see it in Scripture. There comes a time in a society where we see stories, you know, Kings and Chronicles, what happened with the people of Israel, where they basically lose the love of the truth, and they start to begin to walk in disobedience and idolatry. In other words, they begin to turn away. And then there's a second phase where they reject the truth, and they basically pay no attention to it anymore. And then he gives them over to the reprobate mind and all the things that you've already quoted and we've been talking about. And then there's the third phase, and here's the sad truth. We are in the third phase, and we know this. This is when they replace bitter for sweet. They start calling evil good and good evil. and we're beyond the place where they call evil good and good evil. They mandate it. They tell you transgenderism is good. You will support it or else. You will support abortion or we'll steal the money right out of your bank account. In other words, they are not just saying we love the lie. They're mandating it. They're enforcing it. And this is where people not only have to love the truth, they have to reject calling evil good and good evil, and they have to do it actively. This is a call to action. It's a call to arms, if you will.
Let me jump in.
Go ahead.
Let me jump in. Okay, so here's the thing. The thing is, tell the truth. Okay, the thing is in each one of our lives, respectively, we all have different circumstances, but the common denominator that we all share,
David. Hang on.
Very long. And David. We're confronted with,
hang on.
Hey, should I say the truth? Should I be silent? You know, and so every moment is,
I'm sorry. You dropped out. We didn't hear you on air. Start that whole thing over again. The part where you got to the key.
Okay.
Because we didn't hear a word of it.
Okay. The truth breaks down. So every one of us in our respective lives have circumstances approaching us all day. To tell the truth, or am I going to remain silent? Every one of those opportunities is a decision. It's the time to make a decision about what I'm going to do. That's where the battle line is. Oh, right there, when that opportunity presents itself, that's when you're confronted with telling the truth. And it's a discipline. I have found it to be a discipline, and it requires courage and surrendering to telling the truth when you really want to run away and hide. And those are facing right now in the last hour. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I'm sorry. We missed a lot of that, David. Your connection this morning is really bad for some reason. And I'm sorry about only about half of that got across. But I think I got the gist of it anyway. You're right. We simply have to speak up. And there will be threats. There will be challenges to people who try to speak up. I'm not going to pretend that those who say, oh, I just want to get to retirement, that they aren't at risk of their career. But you know what? There are more important things than your damned career. And I'll say it that way because your damned career is damning you and killing people in so many cases. Look at a Fauci or a Deborah Birx or those that work for them that are serving Satan, whether they know it, whether they admit it, whether it offends them or not. If you're injecting people with poison, you're a damned servant of Satan. Literally, figuratively, and in every possible way. This is just simply beyond the pale. All right, let me throw out a couple things. We need a bit of lightheartedness before we go. I don't like to make light of somebody's misfortune, but when they deserve it so overwhelmingly, it is kind of funny, and it shows, if nothing else, that the creator of the universe has a sense of humor. The Biden Fuhrer, who's double poked, taken his Zyklon B, and then double boosted. Now, there are some that say, no, he didn't really get the poison poke. He probably got the saline injection, or the real thing. But in any case, for public consumption at least, the Biden Fuhrer is quadruple poked. And now he has COVID. And what was even worse is there's a video online, I encourage people to look at this, of cackling Kamala Heels in the Air Harris, the woman who everybody knows how she got to where she is, and it did not involve her skills anywhere outside the bedroom. Anyway, she was asked in Charlotte about the man masquerading as president. She gave a double thumbs up, and she cackled. And she said, I spoke by phone. He's in good spirits. He's feeling well. He is fully vaccinated and twice boosted. And of course he is. And we would encourage everyone to do the same. And he's doing the same thing he always did. He's working just as hard as ever. Yeah, in other words, we're probably all better off the less active that guy is, because now he's so, he can't even appear on camera and pretend to sign things, or pretend to read the teleprompter. The moral of the story, I guess, David, is the Creator does have a sense of humor, and he is showing those with eyes to see the truth, even through those people who are still lying through their masked faces. Go ahead. Did we lose you? Well, that's bad. I think we lost David completely, folks. Let me see if I can't reconnect him here. We'll get him back online just for the last 30 seconds or so. But I want to mention one more item before we get to the break here. The final takedown of America. The Biden Fuhrer was widely rumored. There's a story up on RT saying future climate orders. It's not enough that he's destroyed the energy economy. It's not enough that he's destroyed the food chain. And when I say he, of course, I mean his puppet masters, the Obamas that are local and the Chinese Communist Party that are further away, all pulling the chains, all laughing as they destroy America. Anyway, he had claimed that he was going to take executive action. I don't have the power, I don't have the authority, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it was rumored he was going to declare a national emergency. The national emergency is that the election was stolen, the Constitution's been gang-raped, and the bad guys, the open communists, have taken over. But he is going to declare a national emergency, but they didn't do that this week. He spoke at a shuttered coal plant, kind of emblematic of what they're doing to the country, in Massachusetts, claiming Congress isn't acting as it should, so he has to use executive powers to combat the crisis. And he didn't actually come right out and do what he was, at least his minions were threatening, but they are continuing to work to destroy the country, and that's the obvious point here. Okay, let's see if we can't get David back online. All right. I guess the good news is be aware of all of that, be watchful, and for those that have the option and the ability, know that if they're going to destroy the energy economy and you're on grid, well, what happens when the grid goes down? They intend to take it down. If you're duped enough to have bought an electric car, you're not going to be able to charge it. In Texas, you're finding out you can't do that already. I guess one of the interesting clues to my mind is, here it is, hot. They're telling people you can't run your air conditioners. And so what you want to do is go out and get an electric car where you can't go very far anyway, but if you turn on the air conditioner, you won't be able to get out of your driveway. That's a metaphor for what they've done to the entire economy. And all of these things are making that so clear. So I guess, the important thing is people, they're without excuse at this point. The evidence is there. The evidence is undeniable. And what we need to do is make sure we speak about it, talk about it while we still have time. I see David is ringing, but he hasn't picked up yet. I don't know if we're going to get him or not. Let me make one other final comment as we go to the bottom of the hour. Understand that the economic system is one of the things that is also going to have the Great Reset. If you have a lot of money invested in fiat dollars, you know what happens when people realize that they're never going to be worth as much as they are today. They're going to spend them. That's going to accelerate the collapse, and it's going to be too late. They're going to end up doing the bail-ins and so forth. So if you have money in the bank, if there are things you need, for example, food, better ways to save money like gold and silver, things that are scriptural, you had better begin to deploy what you can while you can, because all of this is going to accelerate. We don't have much longer. Thanks. Shabbat shalom, folks.